Kane crossed an overgrown strip of gravel alley between a pair of warehouses. He saw an open-topped Jeep, painted a dull ochre, tearing up a muddy road ribbon beside one of the tracks. Immediately, he sensed triple red danger. He was exposed, and he knew the two uniformed sect men in the vehicle had spotted him. The Jeep skidded to a halt at the mouth of the alley, and the men climbed out, looking toward him suspiciously. They carried Kalashnikov rifles in shoulder slings. Kane was about 20 yards away from them, hidden from the waist down by weeds. He continued to casually cross the alley, as if he had every right to be doing so. Running would only catch the eyes of the officers immediately. He reached the other side of the alley and veered to the left, toward the compound of an old factory. Judging by the mounds of slag, the great litter of steel scrap, it had been a smelting plant at one time. He spoke into his lapel transceiver.
Triple red. I think I've been made. Stand by. Observe radio silence until you hear from me.
A big building stood behind the slag heaps. It had no door and was probably an easy place to become lost in. Kane continued to walk at a steady pace. He didn't turn his head, but the sin-eater slid smoothly into his palm.
Ostanovka! Opradyelitye!
Kane kept walking. Suddenly, he dived to his left. Kane rolled behind a pile of iron posts and came up running in erratic zigzag pattern. Kane ran faster. The building loomed massively before him. He stopped running, pivoting on his right heel, leading with his blaster. One round smashed into an officer's shoulder and twirled him around in a bright spray of crimson. His companion threw himself to the ground. Kane turned and dashed behind a mound of slag, then raced for the open building. Kane guessed correctly that the injured man was calling for reinforcements. Once they arrived, they would fan out and cover the area, but that would take time. Kane sprinted into the building. He loped through the murky emptiness until he reached the far side, eyes darting back and forth, seeking an exit. He leaned against the corrugated metal wall and listened. He heard nothing on the other side of it. Sliding along the wall, he found a loose section of tin and yanked it carefully away from the wood crossbrace. He managed to ease his body through the small opening and found himself in a wilderness of grotesque iron shapes. He moved through them swiftly, doubling back toward the warehouse where Bridget was waiting. Armed, uniformed men marched all over the perimeter. He had no idea where they had come from. When he reached a position where he had a fairly unobstructed view of the rail yard, he saw a large covered truck parked near one of the warehouses. A silver circle was painted on the cab door. He considered hailing Grant to warn him, but discarded the notion. He might be in hiding, and even the whisper of sound made by the transceiver circuit engaging could give him away. Kane gazed for a moment at the truck, wondering if he and his companions had indeed tripped an alarm somewhere inside the warehouse and called up the hounds. If so, Baptiste was in grave danger, trapped inside of the place. He began moving again, sometimes in a crouch, often crawling on his belly through the high weeds. The men searching for him were nearby, but they were not yet too close. Finally, he reached the rear of the warehouse, crept beside the west wall until he reached the window. It was still open, and he heaved himself up and through it, feet first this time. He dropped lightly to the floor on the balls of his feet.
Grant, do you copy?
Kane started to speak into the transceiver when he heard the step behind him.